Hello, and welcome to season two of the podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared. I'm your host, Leonque Chivette, and I'm the author of We Made Plans, which is available online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart.com, and you can also check with your local bookstores. And as most of you know by now, I am also a trained paralegal and a corporate trainer. And this podcast episode is being sponsored by the Tactical Social Worker. And thank you to my sponsors for their sponsorship. I really appreciate it. And we'll tell you more about the Tactical Social Worker later on in the podcast. Over the course of season two, we've discussed self-defense, firearm safety, and situational awareness. And we're going to continue our discussion on self-defense with regard to a special form of martial arts. So again, thank you guys so much for tuning in to season two. I appreciate it. Our guest speaker today is Kimberly Mae Baskerville. Kimberly is from my hometown, the city of East Orange, New Jersey. And she is a native of East Orange. She's a wife, a mother, a minister, and a martial artist. She always had a love for the arts. Growing up watching Kung Fu Theater on Saturday afternoons with her brother was part of her regular schedule. And Kim began her training at Goshi Shan Imperial Academy at the age of 27 to learn self-defense. She trained under the guidance of Grandmaster William W. Wilson, the founder of Goshi Shan Karate, for 25 years until his demise in 2020. Kim is noted as only the second woman to receive a black belt with degrees under Grandmaster Wilson. She also holds a fifth degree in Ketsugu under Masters Anthony Williams, Charles Wang Smith, and Jamar Higgs. She continues to work with the youth, young ladies, and women teaching self-awareness and self-defense. In her church group, she has performed numerous seminars with the young people focusing on trafficking, self-defense, and good touch, bad touch. She is also fluent in sign language and has incorporated that skill into her self-defense training as a form of communication between students and also training deaf and hard of hearing students. You will find Kim at the dojo with her two beautiful daughters, training and instructing right beside her. So welcome, Kim. How are you today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. We're going to get started with a fun fact. And as you know, I ask all of my guests for season two to share a fun fact about themselves. So what are you going to share with us?
I guess I have two fun facts. One is I'm talking to you right now and I am in my office where I originally was a temp, only supposed to be here for 11 weeks. And in July, it will be 29 years.
Oh, wow. As a temp, that's pretty good. That speaks to your character.
Yes, it does. And my other fun fact is that I actually taught myself 2 years ago to knit watching YouTube videos. So everyone is getting a scarf for Christmas.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. That's good. I can picture you with a sweater over your shoulders knitting. But I'm not going to tease knitting, though. I'm not going to go there.
Thank you.
All right. So as I said before, you are a part of the Goshi Shan martial arts, and I hope I'm saying it right. But I want you to tell us about that, the art of Goshi Shan and its history.
Okay. Goshi Shan was started in the 50s by Grandmaster William Wilson. He was in the army in the Korean War, and he was stationed in Japan. And while he was in Japan, he trained in the Go family karate, which is a hard style of martial arts. When he returned in, I think it was 53 or 57, when he returned to the States, he incorporated street fighting into that and started his own style of karate. His first school was on 7th Avenue in Newark. So this is a New Jersey-based style of martial arts. And the rest is history. It's grown great since then.
Okay. Okay, so you said it's Jersey-based, but is this widely taught? Is it a widely taught form of martial arts, like beyond Jersey?
Yes, because it's over 60 years old. Many students have branched out. There are schools in about 10 states in America, and there's also schools in Turkey, Africa, Greece, Germany, Japan, and the Caribbean.
Oh, okay. So yeah, it's definitely widely taught. Okay. I wasn't sure when you just mentioned Jersey, but thank you for sharing that. And so I want you to tell our listeners, how did you become involved with Go Shishon, and what level or degree of belt have you achieved?
Well, as it states in my bio, I always wanted to take karate, but I grew up with a very strict grandmother who didn't think that karate was a ladylike style. So I didn't get into it until I was 27. And that was because my son was a little uncoordinated. And so we were supposed to take him to a school that one of the members of our church was in charge of, but she wasn't there that day. So on the way home, we ended up passing the Go Shishon school. So we decided to just stop in, and we sat and watched the class and talked with Grandmaster Wilson. And that night we signed him up. And about 2 weeks later, I joined because one of the senseis in the school was kind of cute to me, and I had a little crush on him. So I was trying to get close to him.
Wow, Kim. Okay. Okay, so you became involved with this because there was a cute sensei there. And because your son needed some assistance, I guess, while you were there waiting.
Yes.
Interesting, interesting. But you were 27, so it's okay. All right. So so just a side note, did your son continue with the training?
My son went all the way to green belt, and then he went out of town to school, and I stayed and became a fourth degree.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. And so I'm sorry, with the black belt, you said it's what level?
Fourth degree.
Okay. And English. So I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm a fourth degree in Go Shishon.
Okay. All right. And so what else did your son go on to become?
My son is currently in medical school studying to become a neurosurgeon.
Yes, and we are so happy for him and so thrilled with his determination to get that done. So yeah. And of course, to my listeners, you know that there's got to be something, and I'll tell you about it at the or towards the end. All right, so Kim, you indicated that you work with women and young girls teaching them self-defense tips. First, you know, what are your students like? And second, I want you to share a couple of the tactics that you encourage them to employ when you're training them.
Most of my students, they vary in age, size, personality, of course. Most of them are young ladies and women. I grab a lot of them from my church and other church groups. I guess one of the things I want to instill in them is that they need to be aware of their surroundings. They need to think about what they're doing when they're by themselves. Most of the women are, the older women are single moms or work nights. So also they're interested in getting fit. So we started a group a few years ago called Get It Right, Get It Tight. And they meet twice a week. And we work out for the first hour and a half. And then the end of the class, we do self-defense techniques. So they're versed in both ways. I also teach the women that their bodies can be a weapon. If they can't get into their purse to get, you know, they have mace or something in their purse that they typically rely on as a weapon, and they can't get to it in a situation where they need it, their bodies are a weapon. From head to toe, you are a walking weapon.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree with that. And so just a quick question, because I have a limited amount of time that I work out when I work out. So you said that you guys work, or you ladies work out for an hour and a half, and then you go do self-defense techniques?
Yeah. Once you get into the dojo, and that's been my kind of like my side addiction. Mm-hmm. Once I get in there, I don't want to leave because everything is there. It's like we have machines, we have all different kinds of calisthenic exercises. We have trained physical trainers there. A lot of the black belts that work out with us are actually physical trainers on the side.
Okay.
So we have everything there for you. So you kind of get caught up in the moment.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's a significant amount of time. So good for you and for all of the ladies and young girls that you work with. And so tell us, what are like a couple of the fundamentals of Go Shishon, and how does it compare to any of the other martial arts?
Grandmaster Wilson was big on tradition, even though he kind of modified the style or made it his own. He was always big on tradition. So Goshi Shun is a traditional karate school, and we focus more on honor, respect, self-discipline, self-control. A lot of other schools, like the more popular schools, focus on more of the showy stuff. But we want you to be able to get in and out of a situation without, if you don't have to fight, then you won't fight. But like if you can use your brain and get out of a situation, that's more important than you having to use the physical force. That's like the last resort is the physical force.
Right. Okay. All right. And that's good. That kind of goes back to the de-escalation that we talked about on one of my previous podcasts. And on a side note with that guest, she had mentioned that if you're at a point where you're fighting or pulling your weapon, that it's gone too far. And so I like that, you know, that you also mentioned that to be able to talk, to use your brain to get out of a situation or to de-escalate a situation. That's always important. So thank you for that. And okay, so we need to take a quick break. To my listeners, you are listening to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chavette, and my special guest, Kimberly Mae Baskerville. We'll be right back.
You are looking to strengthen your boundaries, to learn to protect your peace and protect your space. I am your girl. I am Latasha Oliver, LMSW of Tactical Social Worker, PLLC. I am the lady, the sister, the woman you need to come see. You can contact me on Instagram at TacticalSocialWorker_PLLC. That's on Instagram. My email is TacticalSocialWorker@gmail.com. You can also locate me on Facebook under Tactical Social Worker. That website is www.bodybyotactical.com. Go down, you see the Tactical Social Worker tab, click on that, and boom, you're in there. I am the Tactical Social Worker.
Leonque Chavette is the author of the debut novel, We Made Plans. It chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends in the midst of living their best lives when they experience a horrific trajectory-altering event. We Made Plans is a powerful piece taken right out of today's headlines. It's riveting and real. You'll become completely immersed in the lives of these relatable characters. We Made Plans by author Leonque Chavette is available online at Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Amazon, Mahogany Books, and check your local bookstores. We Made Plans, available now.
Welcome back to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leonque Chavette. This episode is being sponsored by the Tactical Social Worker. She provides next level care by using her licensed social work experience and firearms instructor knowledge. You can find this sponsor on Instagram at TacticalSocialWorker_PLLC. If you want to connect my voice to face, please check me out on Instagram at Leonque_Chavette_author. And for those that are just tuning in, you're listening to our guest speaker, Kimberly Mae Baskerville out of East Orange, New Jersey. All right. So welcome back, Kim.
Thanks.
Okay. So you mentioned offline when I spoke to you that you had a story about how one of your students implemented one of the tactics that you taught. So I want you to share that with our listeners.
Okay. Like I said in the last question, Grandmaster's first lesson when you come into his school was to teach you to get out of a situation without being physical. Well, one night, and I usually talk to the ladies about this when we have our seminars. It's like one of the first things I talk about as well. And one of the ladies, she worked at McDonald's during the evenings and she would get off late, like 11 o'clock, but she lived close enough to walk home. Well, one night she's noticed that a car was following her, and she tried to, you know, turn down one street and the car still followed her. And so instead of, she got nervous, but she didn't panic. And instead of panicking, she found her way into a fire department and stayed there. And actually she had taken a picture of the license plate of the car. So the police were actually able to find the car and kind of stop them and question them. And she was safe. She came home safe that night.
Right. Right. That's wonderful. And so one of the things that you tell them to do when they detect trouble like that is to turn into like a public place or something like that?
A public place, yes.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That's definitely good information to, you know, to share, to let people know if there's something that you can get into that's public or where there's a lot of people, then you should definitely try to do that. And always try to get yourself away from the situation. It's the same thing as what we teach with active shooter training, is that you should distance yourself from a situation if you can. And so the same thing that you're teaching with the self-defense is to distance yourself from the situation and put yourself in a place, in a public place where, you know, there's more people and you'll be safe. So yeah, that's good information. Okay, so Kim, what drives your passion to share your expertise and knowledge with the women and the young girls that you work with?
Well, I'm really an advocate for women. I went to an all-girls high school, so that was pushed in, like pushed, as well as being raised by a strong woman. Mm-hmm. So I am not shy to being around strong and influential, independent women.
Right.
And so I also trained with a lot of the men who, they insisted that I know how to protect myself when I was out there. The guy I had a crush on, he pushed me. Like when I didn't want to come to class, he would come and pick me up and push me. So I found that they respected me more because they saw that I was serious about learning the art. Mm-hmm. And then I used to do after school programs where the children would come up to me afterwards and they were surprised because they didn't believe that there could be a woman that was a black belt or a woman that actually trained. So I was kind of like a superhero of sorts to them. They were surprised.
Wow, that's cool. That's good. All right. And so I want you to tell our listeners about this story, because you said to me that you've snatched pocketbooks before. So I want you to tell our listeners the context of that statement, that when you were snatching pocketbooks.
Oh, well, that I kind of test my students sometimes when I'm with them, because since a lot of them are teenagers, my daughter's friends or friends of the family, people from church, we kind of hang out on the side. So there was one incident where I was hanging out with one of the girls and she was walking in front of me and she was carrying her pocketbook in a way that was like an invitation to someone to take it from her. Mm-hmm. So I kind of took the opportunity and I ran by her and snatched her pocketbook off her and kept running. So she realized it was me, so it didn't, you know, escalate into anything crazy, but
right.
She did get the picture that, you know, she needs to change her environment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How she contains herself in public.
Mm-hmm. Now, was she on a phone or anything as well, or she was just holding her pocketbook weird, wonky?
This one was just holding her pocketbook weird, but I have done it to young ladies who were, you know, walking down the street in their phone with their purse, you know, just hanging. So, you know, I try my girls. I let them see that what I'm teaching them is real.
Right. And effective. It's relevant for sure. Yeah. Okay. All right. That's very good, Kim. Very good information that you share. And it's a note to self to make sure I keep my pocketbook secure around you. All right. So are you a gun owner?
Not yet.
Okay.
But my girls are getting kind of old and I'm going to need one soon.
You know, it's funny. I just came across a meme, a picture of a t-shirt that said, "I have a pretty daughter. I have a gun and a shovel and something else." But it was from 2015. And so I sent it to my daughter and she was like, "You didn't even have a gun then." And I was like, "But we do now." We do now. Don't you worry about it. But anyway, so, okay. So if you're not a gun owner, which is not surprising for, you know, New Jersey residents, what other weapons or self-defense tools, if any, do you recommend that someone of age carry every day?
Well, like I said earlier, your whole body is a weapon. So you carry yourself in a way that you gain the knowledge of how to protect yourself without having to use a weapon. Mm-hmm. But also anything can be a weapon, an ink pen, a paper clip, a bobby pin, even the arm of your glasses you can use. And if you use it properly, learn how to use it properly, then you can do anything. You just need to get yourself away from the assailant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I told my kids from a very early age that everything is a weapon. And I forget the name. I think it was Kill Bill was the name of the movie. And that movie was so violent. I really felt weird. I felt like something was wrong with me when I was done watching the movie. I was like, wow, it was just so violent. But with that movie and another one with it could have been one of those Charlie's Angels movies, but they used everything they could find as a weapon, even a toothbrush, because she was in the bathroom, and she even used like her feet to climb up the wall and flip over. Now, I know I'm not doing that, but that's when it became real apparent to me that everything is a weapon. I mean, and that you say your body, you, definitely, that's what they were doing in those two movies. Like everything was a weapon.
It definitely is.
Yeah, definitely. I need to take another break. So as a reminder to my listeners, this podcast episode is being sponsored by the Tactical Social Worker. And the Tactical Social Worker provides next level care by using her licensed social work experience and firearms instructor knowledge. And you can find this sponsor on Instagram at tacticalsocialworker_PLLC. And we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Leon Kwe Chavette, publisher, corporate trainer, speaker, and author of We Made Plans, a fictional novel which debuted as number 3 on Amazon's Hot New Releases. This amazing story chronicles the lives of a group of longtime friends who were in the midst of living their best lives when they experienced a devastating, trajectory-altering event, hashtag the event. My podcast, Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared, we'll explore 4 different weekly categories with topics ranging from unconventional self-defense to active shooter profiles. I bring it all together in highlighting passages and concepts from my novel as it relates to real-life experiences. You don't want to miss out on these critical preparatory shows. Tune in Tuesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. for Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast with your host, Leon Kwe Chavette.
Okay, welcome back to Sounding the Alarm, Be Safe, Be Vigilant, Be Prepared podcast. Today we're speaking with my special guest, Kimberly Mae Baskerville out of East Orange, New Jersey. And I just want to take the time again to thank all of my sponsors. Beauties and Bullets, the online forum, has been one of our sponsors. And this episode is sponsored by the Tactical Social Worker. And again, she provides next level care by using her licensed social work experience and firearms instructor knowledge. You can find her on Instagram at tacticalsocialworker_PLLC. And she is primarily located out of Texas, but I do believe she travels. And if you want to reach me, if you're interested in becoming a sponsor or a guest on my podcast, please email me at leonquechevette@gmail.com. That's LeonQueChavette@gmail.com. My book is called We Made Plans. And as you know, from last season, when we were doing all things related to active shooter response, you know what the details are. So if you're interested in purchasing a book, you can go to Amazon for an ebook, or you can go to Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, and your local bookstore for a paperback. You can also check me out on my website, and that's where you can get the information for my podcast directory. You can get my Instagram name, Facebook, Twitter, and you can make a purchase for the book that way. And again, if you want to reach me on Instagram, to leave me a message, you can go to Leonhui_Chevette_author. Okay, so I know that was a lot of information that I gave you guys, but I know you guys can handle it, so no worries. Again, you're listening to our guest speaker, Kimberly Mae Baskerville. And so you know that sometimes there's a catch with my guests. And I think it's just that I have pretty talented family. So this time around, yeah, I have talented, knowledgeable family in so many different categories. So this time around, Kimberly Mae Baskerville is my sister-in-law, who I've known since she was little. We're the same age, but we won't talk about that. But I've known her for decades. And so, yes, guys, this is my sister-in-law that we're talking to today. But still very talented, very skilled, and very knowledgeable. So, Kim, thank you so much. I want to just talk about, you know, again, in this climate, what's the number one thing that you want our listeners to know in order to be safe, be vigilant, and be prepared?
The number one thing, that is to stay alert and stay aware of your surroundings at all times. One of the things they tell us at the dojo is when you feel most comfortable is when you're in the most danger, because then you tend to put your guard down. Some suggestions would be to put away your phone when you're by yourself or when you're walking down the street. Don't text and walk. Also, when you're at an ATM, don't hold your back there hiding your money and not see that someone is walking up behind you to rob you. Also, on social media, that's a big thing now. Don't broadcast your whereabouts, your belongings, your personal business. I'm a social media craze person. And I usually check in that I was someplace hours after I've been home, taking off my clothes and relaxing in the bed. And I'll check in that I was somewhere 10 hours ago.
Right.
So, and remember, your life is more valuable than a like.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's good. That's a very good tip, Kim. I definitely do the same. I do not, I sometimes I don't check in at all. I would say that 90% of the time I don't check in, but if I do let people know where I am, it is well after the fact. And I don't like when I'm at an event and we take pictures and then people tag me. I'm like, I'm still here, untag me. So, I mean, I think that's important though, because then you're exposed. One, your location, and two, that you're not home. So,
yes,
you know, so very good. Thank you for sharing that. And then I want you to share with us how our listeners can get in touch with you or follow you on social media, because you are a little bit of a social media junkie.
Well, thank you. You can get me on Facebook at Kimberly Mae Baskerville. You can email me at goshigirl@hotmail.com. That's GOSHIGIRL at Hotmail. And for folks that are located in the North Jersey area, the dojo is located on 207 Conklin Avenue in Hillside. So just stop on by. We're open most evenings around between 3 and 5. We're open, depending on the class. We have classes for children, women, adults. There's boxing classes. There's just plain workout classes. So the dojo, at all times, something's going on in the dojo. Mm-hmm.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for sharing that, Kim. And again, thank you for being such a fantastic guest. I really appreciate it. And I did not share your girls' names, and I'm not going to, but you know that my nieces are very special to me as well. They are not yet neurosurgeons like my nephew, but I am very proud of all of them.
Yes, no, we have a cellist and a teacher. So
yes, right? Very good. Very good. Okay. So again, thank you, Kim. I appreciate you coming on to talk to me and to share your information about the self-defense and sharing the art of Goshi Shan. And I apologize if I pronounced that wrong at any point during this podcast.
Nope, you got it right.
Good, good. Okay. So to our listeners, you know, just take your safety, security, and mental and physical well-being seriously as much as reasonably possible. Like everything we discuss, no matter what the topic, always comes back to that. So, you know, you have to make sure that you're safe, vigilant, and prepared. That's what the title of the podcast is. Kim was raised by a very strong, lovable grandmother who I absolutely loved and adored. And Kim is currently is a minister, so I know Kim is familiar with Psalms 91 and knows that I am a Psalms 91 believer. And also, I want you guys to take heed to Psalms 27 about not walking in fear and who shall you be afraid of if the Lord is the strength of your life. I want you to walk confidently with those scriptures in mind. And I am a gun owner and I am an advocate for concealed carry for those places where you can carry. I'm also an advocate for training diligently, not just being thinking that it's the wild, wild west and that you can do whatever. So I want you to take those scriptures and to walk confidently in that and to train, whether it's martial arts or regarding, you know, being a responsible gun owner, whatever it is, I want you to make sure you train and become confident in what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. And I want you to tell a friend about my podcast and ask them to tune in. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Blog Talk Radio and iHeartRadio. And most importantly, guys, we make plans every day, and to see those plans through, we all, with regard to our personal safety, needs to be safe, be vigilant, be prepared, and be blessed. Thank you for listening. Love you all.